Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Of those forking fangirls.
My Yay!
Name is Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And this is Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. Just like a little intro to the show. We are not former Twihards, but like we came up in the Twihard era. That was like our first major fandom. We want to do a show about what happens now that we're adults. Like, how do fandoms intertwine with our lives? What are we excited about? What vampire shit are we still watching and getting excited about all the time? So that's kind of like our premise, but we're going to be talking about, you know, how everything interacts with our lives that has to do with fandom and intertwines with all the aspects of adulthood, if that makes sense. We're from the YouTube world originally in terms of the internet, so we're podcast noobs, but we're learning pretty quickly, I feel like. I got the sound effects going.
You did. I was not prepared for that. I was like, whoa!
I got the podcasting apps. I got our intro song. Did you like it? It's fun.
It's so cool.
I love it.
Our friend Cole made that music. So yes. Yay, Cole.
It's so good. Our first segment that we're going to start off the podcast with every week is something I like to call Snap Crackle Pop Culture News.
Fun fact, we were actually going to call our podcast that.
Yeah, before Snap Crackle Pop Culture. But I think like there was like a class that did an assignment, a podcast as an assignment, and they had like two episodes, but they had to use the name, and it was sad times. But I like our title now. I like our podcast.
I love
name.
It. It's
Those
it's so us.
Fangirls, it captures us.
It really does.
The first thing we needed to touch on today is not exactly book related, but it's Taylor Swift. She released a new album.
It is my day. My life, my morning. I woke up this morning singing Bejeweled. And
I woke
it
up
is everything.
Infidelity. High infidelity. I was like, do you really want to know where I was April 29th?
Ninth. I woke up and I'm like, and I'm going out tonight.
Like, she's been breaking all these records and I'm so
I can't
proud
believe
of
it.
Her. She moved 1.2 million units of album in 3 days and broke her 1989 record, which was like her biggest record ever. And the record that she felt like she'd never do as well as.
Hit again.
You know, she thought that was going to be her peak. And that's why Reputation, one of the reasons that Reputation took a long time is that she felt all this pressure because she had done so well on the previous album. She thought she'd never live up to it.
I think it's incredible how much stuff she's just been putting out over like the last 2 years, like through the pandemic, and
yes.
Like she did Folklore, Evermore, and then the re-release of Red. Has she done
and
anything
the
else?
Of Fearless.
Oh, forgot. I knew I was missing one.
Yeah.
And now
Midnight. And Speak Now is coming. It was all through the Bejeweled music video where Speak Now Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. It's literally everywhere. If you watch the video, there is this moment where she's in the elevator, which also referenced a Labyrinth where she's like, I'm afraid of elevators.
Yes.
But in the elevator, every single number is coded as an album. And I didn't realize when I first glanced at it, I got so excited and ran to Twitter and I was like, oh my gosh, does this mean Speak Now is coming like 3/7, March 7th? Because I thought that they were dates, but they were actually like individual albums. I thought that like each color was the number of the date, you know?
Yes, I did
see
that.
The double colors were actually like the albums that were re-releases, not the date of the album, like I thought. So anyway, number 13 is her next album, if you count the re-releases, and it was Purple. It was Speak Now. And she released that video on the anniversary of Speak Now. The original Speak Now release. That's what people told me on Twitter. But what I read in articles, so this is definitely real, is that half the units that she moved of albums were vinyl sales, which is something that could only happen now when everyone's weirdly into vinyls again. We're all hipsters now.
Not me. I don't own a record player.
Oh, you don't? What is your hipster nature? It hasn't, you never.
There is, there is no hip.
You have no hipster nature.
There is no hipster nature. I have no space for a record player. I don't even have a boombox.
Well, record players now. Yeah, I don't. Who has a boombox still? I think my last boombox was like my Christmas gift in fifth grade.
Yeah, my grandparents have one.
They have a boombox?
Yes.
My grandparents only had a record player for a very long time and a tape deck.
No one in my family has a record player.
Okay, but let me just tell you, record players now are like a suitcase. You open the suitcase and there's a record player in it. So it's,
I know,
small.
I've seen yours.
Okay. So my Nana's was like a big box that sat on the counter that played records. It wasn't as compact. They're not economical. I don't know what to do with my records. I have like four. one is Folklore, one is the Beatles. It's the whole time. The 70s are back. And I mean, you've got the 70s hair rocking. That's what's in right now. The long waves, they're everywhere.
The long waves.
The long waves. That's what's happening.
It's the sweeping bang. What is that called? I can't. It's blanking what? On my I, that what bang you, that everyone the gets. Bang?
The little what like about the goldie 70s ish.
Yeah.
Oh, the center part bang thing. If you can't see Natasha, she has hair that's like past her boobs right now, and it's wavy, and that's the 70s look. And my hair was just starting to grow out again, and I could have done a Taylor Swift haircut and gotten bangs, but I hate bangs, and I got the Rachel instead. So never. Everyone's doing their bangs, 70s thing. I don't want to.
Bangs
do
are
that.
Never a good idea.
They really aren't. I don't know how she deals with it. Taylor has bangs. And she was the biggest week for vinyl albums since 1991. That's insanity. And
what?
She, yeah, the biggest vinyl album selling week since 1991. And Midnight's has broken the record for biggest opening week for any album in global Spotify history. She just passed Bad Bunny. So that's some crazy shit. I'm so proud of a girl.
I don't even know who Bad Bunny is. That doesn't seem as impressive to me, but I guess he's a big deal.
He's a big deal. I don't listen to his music either, but globally, he's the most streamed artist.
Okay, that makes sense
for the
globally.
Past few years. Yeah, it's just not the style of music I think that I listen to. I wouldn't know though because I haven't listened to. Maybe we've heard it somewhere. Everyone's probably like, "You're so dumb. How do you not know Bad Bunny?" I'm so sorry. Uncultured.
He was just in Bullet Train. Alex and I watched that.
Oh, the movie with Brad Pitt and Joey King. I need to watch that. I need to watch that. So, okay, you have some news for us, Natasha. What's your news segment this week?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this. But Henry Cavill is officially back as Superman. And I couldn't be more happy to see that man in Superman's suit again. So it's a little bit of a spoiler, and I'm not really going to talk about how he came back. I haven't even seen the film yet, but there's a new DC film out this weekend or last weekend.
What?
It did pretty well.
What movie? Black Adam? Why aren't you saying the name?
Because how I don't want to spoil people. Okay, so yes, so the new DC film that Dwayne Johnson is in, obviously, is Black Adam. Black Adam is out this weekend, and there is a post-credit scene. So anyways, I haven't seen the movie, but then Henry goes on Instagram on Monday and, like, posts a video about how he's officially back as Superman. So if you guys didn't know, back in...
when did he leave as Superman?
2018, he was fired.
Wait, what do you mean he was fired?
They're like, if we're going to do Superman again, we're going to hire a new actor. Like, it's not going to be Henry. So DC has been going through, like, this huge rework, I guess. They fired the main guy who used to be, like, the Kevin Feige of DC. And so he's gone now. Guess who's taking over DC?
Is it James Gunn?
Yes, it is James Gunn.
Wait, he's taking over all of DC?
Yeah, like the movie part of it.
Just to clarify, for anyone who doesn't know James Gunn, he wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, and then there was a whole controversy with old tweets from 2012, and he was fired from Disney, and then DC was like, hey, want to write the next Suicide Squad movie for us? And then he went over there, wrote that, and then Disney was like, fine, never mind, we want you to write the Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Mm-hmm. And now he's heading DC creative production? Yes.
I don't know all those details, but I do know that they hired him, like, officially for DC. I think now that he's wrapped up Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is supposed to be very emotional, by the way. So they dropped the news that James Gunn is doing DC. And then Marvel drops the trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is going on Disney Plus like that same day.
Wait, a holiday special that James Gunn made?
Yes.
What? There's a we never do holiday specials in America. They're always like an England thing.
They're doing it.
Speaking of news, wait, was there more to this story before I kind of changed the subject?
No, that's it.
Okay, there's a new Doctor Who, and I've never... And that's not true. I did care about Doctor Who for a time in my life. I was, like, very excited about it when Matt Smith was the Doctor. And then I went back and watched David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston. But I never watched past Matt Smith. And now the guy from Sex Education, Eric, I don't know the actor's name, but the guy who plays
Eric.
Oh,
yes, he's the new Doctor.
He's the new Doctor. And there was a special... where there was a regeneration special, and I have not watched it yet. I have to watch it, and I heard that there's spoilers around, so please don't tell us the spoilers, but David Tennant was in the trailer!
Yes, so David Tennant's back. I just heard this from my friend.
Wait! Natasha, you're spoiling! That's a spoiler!
He's, what? I don't know. He's back for, like, a few episodes. That's all I know.
That's the spoiler.
Sorry.
I'm gonna watch that. I'm excited.
Me too. I watched all of David Tennant's stuff. I'm just now starting Matt Smith.
Matt Smith is the best. Matt Smith and Amy Pond and Rory are my favorite. I saw a picture of him as the Doctor, and he looks so good and so much older than he does in Sex Education. And I know that's purposeful that he looks like a youth in Sex Education because he's in high school in the show. But I was like, whoa.
Movie magic.
Okay, last news item today. I have to touch on the fact that there is a new Percy Jackson book coming out next year. And I got very excited about this when I saw the announcement, but I didn't read Rick's blog post that he did the next day. Rick Riordan is the author of Percy Jackson. And if you're not familiar with the Percy Jackson series, it's a middle grade series, but it's very clever. It's kind of like when you read Harry Potter as an adult, but it's much funnier. It's a lot of comedy, and it's all about Greek mythology, but in a fictional story. There's, like, these actual gods, and the main characters are the gods' children that they had with random humans, and then they always abandon their kids because they're gods, and they just kind of have sex with mortals, and the kids get left, and they have powers, and those kids go to Camp Half-Blood to use their abilities and use them to help the gods accomplish quests and stuff. Anyway, Percy Jackson's hilarious, very clever, very cute. I read these when I was in my early 20s, and I enjoyed the crap out of them. There's this series, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, that's all told from Percy Jackson's point of view, and then there's the series, The Heroes of Olympus, which is told from 6 different points of view, one of them being Percy. There were 5 books in that series that came after Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and it ended with a book that was not satisfying at all. And you know when you read a series and you invest in it for so long, and then the last book doesn't feel good? It leaves this uncomfortable feeling about it in you.
Yes.
And So it was very upsetting when The Blood of Olivia came out, and that's how I felt. There was no Percy point of view in it. So you didn't even get to say goodbye to Percy Jackson, our favorite character. Like, I've always called him my number one book boyfriend. I love him. Yes. And he's only like 2 years younger than me or something if you look at when he was born. So let's not go into this. Like,
it's not weird.
It's not weird. But this new book is from his point of view only. So that's really fun. And it's him in his senior year of high school. He's applying to this God College. What is it called? It's like University of Rome. It's like the Camp Half-Blood version. It's for demigods of a college. Mm. And to get in, he needs 3 recommendations from 3 separate gods. And the gods are like, we won't write you a recommendation unless you fulfill this random quest for me. So he has to do all these quests for the gods to get these recommendations. And the quests, of course, are like very big dramatic things that'll take, I think, a book each. So he's planning on writing more than one new book, which I'm very excited about. He did say that they'll still be middle grady.
That was going to be my question. I'm like, is this like the new ending of it, or is there, do you think there's just going to be like just more?
I think it's a new series that he's going to end up writing. He started writing it because he wanted to be like, hey, Disney, if you make the series, I can release this at the same time and help promote it. And then he didn't even end up needing it. But now that they're making a new Percy Jackson TV series, they were like, hey, what can we publish to go along with this? And he's like, actually, I have this outline that I'm really excited about. Oh. So I could do this. And so it's called Percy Jackson and the Chalice of the Gods. It's coming out September 23rd, 2023.
That's very, well, I guess it's a year from now. But I feel like it's very soon.
Mm-hmm. He's already, like, I've had it in the works for a while. I'm very excited about it. People were asking if it's going to be more YA-ish, though. And it's going to have the same tone as it did before. So anyone can read it. Which, I understand why he's doing that. And I'm still going to read it because I loved all the other ones. And I was in my 20s. I'm sure I'm still going to love it. Natasha probably won't read it.
No. I was like, this is like one of the things I can't connect with you about.
I feel like a lot of us, though, a lot of millennials grew up with Percy, or, you know, it's the youth millennials, and probably a lot of Gen Z grew up with Percy Jackson. It started coming out in 2005.
There's a lot of like my TikTok movie TV show, like commentary people that I'm friends with are very excited about the TV show. So I feel like I'm very up to date on all of the information, and they're like around, well, some of them are younger than me, but there's like a few people who are like, you know, our age, like late 20s, early 30s, who are very excited about it.
Yeah, no, a lot of people I think in our age group are pumped. We're moving on now. Let's get out of our news segment. We have a segment that we're calling What Right Now. And in What Right Now, we're going to be talking about what we're reading, watching, and the movies we've seen in the last week that we're excited about. So, Natasha, what TV shows are you excited about this week?
Oh, I feel like not a lot. everything just ended for me. Like, literally, I had my, like, Rings of House of Dragon, like, weekends, and now they're done, and I'm very sad. She-Hulk ended. Everything's done. I guess what I'm excited for is Interview with a Vampire, which I started.
We have to watch that because we need to talk about it on this show.
I know. Vampires, right?
Yes.
You need to start watching it. It is very good.
Is it scary?
No. Okay. I don't think it's very scary. It's like, I mean, they're not like the nicest vampires, but the whole vibe of the show is incredible. And the actors in it are like very sensual. And just
very sensual. They're sexy people. Is that what you...
They are very sexy people. Yes. Yes. Except for the little girl.
I guess, yeah, I saw that movie a long time ago, but I vaguely remember. The little girl's old, though, right? And scary.
She's like a young girl, and then she grows up. So she turns into a vampire when she's like, I think, 14 or 16. And then you watch as she like grows up mentally, and now she's like an adult in this child's body. And it's a very...
Wait, we get to see that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. It's very weird, though, right?
It's very weird.
Yeah, I remember being very weird in the movie because she's very young looking.
It's Kirsten Dunst in the movie.
Yes, I was going to ask, is it Kirsten Dunst? That's what I had in my head, mm-hmm. but like it's been so long, I could not confirm. Weird.
That's the one that's currently watching, but House of the Dragon just wrapped up this weekend, and I am sadness.
I am so behind on literally everything. You're saying all these things ended. I have only watched 2 episodes of House of Dragon. I've watched like 3 episodes of She-Hulk. I need to get on it. I was in a cave writing my 3rd book for the last 2.5 months.
Christine has needed lots of fluffy material to get her through the stresses of life, and I'm just like, give me all the drama. Yeah.
I have been watching Love is Blind. And before that, F-Boy Island. I've been watching all the trash TV, but like Love is Blind is my favorite trash TV. It's so good. It's on Netflix and there's a new season and I'm just so excited. 4 new episodes just dropped or 5 new episodes and the couples are a mess and... Oh, there's this one guy on it, Cole, this season, that does not know how to talk to women. He's very excited, like a puppy, but also just has no filter and will say things like, you look totally different without your makeup. And she was like, yeah, I do, but still cute, right? And yeah, and he would be like telling everyone that she's not the type of physical person that he would go for normally. It's so uncomfortable because she's freaking beautiful. That's Love is Blind. It's people have to date through a wall and they end up falling in love and getting engaged within a week period or 2 week period of time. They only get to see each other after they've gotten engaged. That's on Netflix. Have you been reading anything?
Well, no. My life has just been sewing and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, mine's been editing in Taylor Swift. I have not read much this week either.
Yeah.
I am trying to get into the new Colleen Hoover book, but now I remember why I had a weird feeling about This Ends With Us. It's been a long time since I read This Ends With Us. I read it the second it came out or before mm-hmm. it came out. Have you read that one? You have, right?
Yes, I've read them all except for the reminders of him and the newest one now, like you.
Okay. There's a sequel to This Ends With Us that came out called This Starts With Us. And it's the continuation of the book, This Ends With Us, and it's about an abusive relationship. And I have some baggage there, so it makes me anxious. And I started trying to read the new one where it's like she's out of the abusive relationship and she's going into a more healthy one, hopefully. But like the guy's connected to her still. So he's still in her life. And I was just... I got really anxious. I was like, I can't do this right now when I'm stressed out. So
I was going to download it and listen to it as I was sewing. And I'm like, I don't know if I have the mental capacity to like yes. have space for these characters right now.
Yes. Yes. You have to have the emotional bank full mm-hmm. so that you're not getting really anxious by listening to it. Because if you do have abusive relationship baggage, it could trigger you in that way. Mm-hmm.
I did finish my Angelica Frankenstein book that I started on our trip to London. Remember when I told you I hadn't finished it yet?
You were loving that one. Yeah.
Yeah. When, like,
did you like the end?
I did. It wasn't, I thought it was going to be very sad, but I should have known it wasn't going to be sad. But it was so good and it's such a good book for like this spooky like fall season.
Tell us what it's called.
Angela Frankenstein and something by Sally Thorne. So Sally Thorne did the...
Okay, we need the full name for the people.
One second, I didn't write it down.
You can't make a recommendation about Angela something.
Angela Frankenstein Makes Her Match by Sally Thorne.
Okay, it's a new Sally Thorne.
Yeah, Sally Thorne did The Hating Game. Yes, it's new. It came out this year. It is very unlike anything she has written prior. It is like it's basically like a Victorian novel but like a romance novel, and it's like spooky. The way she writes is completely different.
Very contemporary usually.
Very contemporary. This is like there's like old English. It's very different and I loved it.
I'm excited to. I haven't read any Sally Thorne, so I've got to check her out. I finished the new Taylor Jenkins Reid, Carrie Soto is back. And I freaking loved it. I did the audiobook and I got so invested. I did a book talk. I have a book talk, my first book talk in a long time. No, I'm not saying book talk. I'm saying book talk, which is how I built my YouTube channel about books with book talk, where I talk about the book
I never put that together, that they're the same word, but not.
Well, it's not, because they're saying book talk and I'm saying book talk, like T-A-L-K.
The New Jersey just came out.
I'm saying it that way to like increase the difference when you say it audibly. Talk and talk are different. Book talks came before book talk existed.
Isn't that called like a homonym?
I mean, homonyms are when they're spelt the same, though, isn't it?
No,
or
it's
is
when
it
they're
just, they sound
they
the same.
Sound
no,
the same.
They sound the same. Yeah, you're right. It's been a long time since I heard the word homonym.
You're welcome.
Anyway, that'll be coming. So if you've read Carrie Soto or if you're interested, I did like a 7-minute non-spoilery section, which is my longest non-spoilery section I feel like I've ever done.
Wow.
And I'm excited to post that. Okay, movies.
What have you been watching?
Any.
Oh.
I haven't seen any movies.
I went to the premiere for this one.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. So I went to the premiere of The School of Good and Evil and it was so fun. I did not have a lot of expectations for this film. I thought it was going to be just like, you know, like a fun, I mean, Netflix does good, like teenager-y, like romantic-y type things. This was so fun. It was so good. It was heartfelt. It was campy, but they wanted it to be campy. The two actresses, one's named Sophie, one's named Sophia. And then one of their characters' names is Sophie. And they, the two actors are so great in this film. They're so genuine and just darling on camera. And the fashion, like the costuming in this film is absolutely incredible. There's like big ball gowns, like there's like a goth ball that happens. It's so good. And you have to watch it. And I'm excited for the other movies, or hopefully more. But it does feel like a good like conclusion if nothing else happens after it. I watched that, and then Alex is my twin brother, we also watched The Bullet Train.
Oh, you watched that this week?
Yes, I did watch it this week. I think over the weekend or
rating
something.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
So Bullet Train I would probably give like a 7. Brad Pitt is hilarious in it.
Good. Okay, no more spoilers.
Okay.
I want to watch it. I love Brad.
In The School of Good and Evil, I would give like an 8.5.
All right. Oh, interesting. Rotten Tomatoes did not agree, unfortunately. I checked it the other day and it was pretty low.
No, it is. It's great.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And I'm going to rent Bullet Train because I'm so excited about the movie and I forgot it existed until you brought it up today. So for our last big segment today, we thought we'd do a little getting to know your host sizzle, so you have an idea of who is talking. Because if you're just checking this out and you don't know us, it's kind of, you want to know who you're talking. Actually, at least that's what I feel like when I'm listening to podcasts. I like to get an idea of who these people are. So we're going to do a little interview each other sizzle section with some fun questions and some serious questions.
Yeah.
To open up our podcast life here. So I'm going to start it off. Natasha, what do you do in your regular day-to-day life?
I own my own, talent management company called Lilac Management, where I, represent a bunch of, influencers, here in the States. And I think I have like 2 in the UK. So I do that, about like 25 hours a week. And then I'm an influencer full time as well. And I create content. Used to do YouTube more often, like Christine, but now I'm really focused on TikTok and Instagram, And I live with my twin brother, and we have a dog, and he's a husky, and his name is Nico.
Nice.
What about you, Christine? What do you do during your regular life?
My regular life? Well, I'm a writer. I'm an author. I have two books out. I write rom-coms about people in their early 20s, but as I get older, I'm wanting to write older and older characters. So my first book's called Again But Better, and the lead is 20, and my second book is Better Together. They're not connected. They're two separate contemporary rom-coms. And the second one has a character that is 21, and I just finished writing my third book, the first draft, and it will be out in 2024. But the character is 23. And the next one, I'm like, I want her to be an adult.
Yes.
Please. But yeah, so I am, yeah, so I'm a writer and I'm a YouTuber. I started on YouTube a million years ago in 2010. I was one of like the OG booktubers. And now I make a lot of writing content. I'm trying to get back into YouTubing since I had to take a big break to do two major writing projects over the past year. So all my socials kind of fell to the side, which sucked, but I am working on getting a balance of all the things again, of all my jobs. I wouldn't call myself an influencer because I hate that name. So I'm like a YouTuber, content creator, because I don't focus on that, right? I mean, I can't focus on all of the things at once, which you can do, I think, if you're focusing on like
if you
Instagram
have help.
And TikTok and you have help. Yeah. I don't have help and I'm trying to juggle too many jobs. But anyway, I do post a lot on Instagram and I do post occasionally on TikTok and I post on YouTube. I'm trying to do weekly. But anyway, I'm also human. I'm from New Jersey.
Are you an alien?
I moved here 8 years ago. I'm a dog mom of a 2-year-old Aussie doodle. Toy Aussie doodle. He's very small. And I have two siblings. I'm the oldest sibling. Natasha, what about you?
Twin.
But you're the older twin, right?
I'm the older twin by 52 minutes.
What's your favorite book in the Twilight series?
Oh, my favorite book in the Twilight series. So it used to be New Moon because I was an angsty teen, and now it's just Twilight.
Interesting.
What about you?
That it was New Moon. That's weird. New Moon was like the book I hated the hardest for the longest time.
It was the only book that had like made me cry when I was like 14 years old. So I was like, this is my favorite. I'm feeling so many emotions.
Oh, but Edward was like so gone for 365 pages.
I didn't really, the best parts were when he were there, and that's why I liked it. I was like, I just need to get to when he comes back, and it's gonna be amazing.
That's the first book I remember, like, throwing. I was mad.
I did too.
I was mad. I was upset when I read those pages that were just, like, January, February, March. That was the first time I've ever seen anything like that, and that was powerful, like, the blank pages. Mm-hmm. But I was so mad at that book. My favorite is Breaking Dawn. Mm. I was obsessed with Breaking Dawn when it came out. I read it like 7 times before I moved on to a different book. So that one's my favorite. And it came out on my birthday.
That's right. It did.
Mm-hmm. August 4th.
Are you attached to someone, Miss Christine?
You mean Edward Cullen?
No. The next question. Do you want to marry a nerd?
Oh.
Are you married?
Oh, I'm single. I got out of a relationship in March of 2021. And I have re-entered the dating life and it's so stressful. I would love to marry a cute nerd.
Mm.
And I'm not, I don't have one anymore. What about you? Where are you?
Very single. What did I write on Twitter the other day? Like, the word I can't, like, terminally single. Have been since 2018. And, yeah. I would like to marry someone who's also nerdy, and who loves all the same things as me.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Right.
The dating world is such a hot mess, and I feel like we're going to be exploring that a lot on the show.
Mm.
And I think it's going to be fun to follow. Like, we have to do some dates for the show.
I am not looking forward to that. Like I went on, the last date I went on, I think was like last fall. I have not been on a date since last fall. And Christine has been really like working hard on the dating apps, and she's been going on a lot of dates. And I just feel like this secondhand anxiety through her. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
I feel like I'm excited to like talk through these stories probably in our fangirl tea time. talk through dating stories. So we do plan on doing a dating episode of the show about the dating apps. I think that's going to be really funny and a time. But we have a segment called Fangirl Tea Time that is for our Patreon patrons. That if you check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls, there are 3 different tiers, and we have a lot of fun extras that you get over there. We want to form a community. And so Fangirl Tea Time will be a segment where we talk about more personal stories that we maybe don't want like all over the internet, but like we feel comfortable sharing with our close listeners. And that will be available if you're a patron. But today we're doing a everybody gets to listen to it, yeah. Fangirl tea time. So you get an idea of what it'll be like.
Free.
anyway, we were talking about dating. We both want to marry nerds. I'm 32. How old are you?
28.
My clock feels like it's ticking.
You know, everything is in its own time.
I know.
Like, just
when I was a youth, I thought I would just never, ever find someone ever.
Same. I always go off of like how my parents met, and like my mom met at 28, the age I am now, my dad, and then they got married and they had me by 30, and I'm like, that's not gonna happen.
I mean, yeah, my mom was 22 and she had me at 27. That has come and gone. I would never want to be married at 22, no, honestly, though. No. There's too much to do. Yeah. And when you're, once you get married, you kind of start a new segment of your life and you kind of lose the, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this and this and whatever I want to do because you have another person to worry about.
We wouldn't be able to do this podcast together.
I mean, we could do the podcast, true. But we wouldn't have, probably maybe wouldn't have met if I got married at 22. I don't know if I would have done YouTube. Because you get into things like this because you're lonely and you
want to
find something to channel your community into. Yes, mm-hmm. You want to build community. So that's why I got into YouTube and I met all of my closest friends. And, you know, all my proudest accomplishments have come out of the work that I've done in those communities. Mm. Probably Natasha, too.
Yeah, no, same. I mean, I didn't go to college, so... Like, I called my YouTube career, like, my college years, because that's how I met all my new friends and got to travel and see everyone. And speaking of traveling, what was, like, your favorite con in your 20s?
Oh, yeah, my favorite. So we did so many cons in the past 10 years. And it's hard to pick one. So I picked 2 here. And this is a weird one to pick because I was so sick at the beginning of this con. But Chicago Book Con 2016 was, yeah, so BookCon was in Chicago. It's usually in New York City, and it was such a nice area, mm-hmm. and we did all these really beautiful photo shoots with all of our friends, and Booksplosion had a panel there. Booksplosion is the book club I've been doing for 10 like years on BookTube, yeah, with Jesse the Reader and Catty Tastic, 2 other BookTubers, and we had a panel there. And there were like 500 people at the panel, and it was just like this overwhelming support when you walked into the room. And I had never felt anything like it. And I like cried walking up onto stage. So it was so overwhelming and so beautiful. And everybody loved books, and it was just really nice to be there with friends. We had like really a fun hotel room, mm-hmm. experience, and we have like connecting rooms, and we did really fun vlogs, and it was such a beautiful time.
That was my, like, first, I think that was, like, my first big con that I flew to. Because in 2016, I was 23. And it was, like, the first time I actually had, like, money to do anything. And I was so excited to, like, fly and visit a new place and with friends and Yeah, it was so fun. So I would also say that's like my favorite.
And then my other one was our San Diego Comic-Con 2017, I think.
The one with...
Or was it... I think 2017. The one that Jesse and Sasha were
It's 2017.
For. We did so many fun brunches, and we did this random house party where we met Diana Gabaldon. Well, no, we didn't. We didn't meet Diana Gabaldon that year.
That was our first Comic-Con in 20...
Our first Comic-Con, we met Diana Gabaldon. That was great.
2015.
That was 2015? Mm-hmm. But this one, we got these name tags because Diana Gabaldon wasn't there. And, oh my God, Kristen Ritter wasn't there and she had a book. And someone had waited for like an hour on a meet and greet line at BookCon to come take pictures with me, Kat, and Jesse. And they came up to me and was like, I love your work in Breaking Bad. And they thought I was Kristen Ritter! I mean, my name's Christine Riccio, and like, I don't think I look that much like her, but we're both white girls with like a face. I don't know. I can see like vaguely a little, but yeah, it was hilarious. So then we go into this party and everyone's taking their little name tags, and Diana Gabaldon and Kristen Ritter hadn't taken theirs because they didn't come, so we took theirs.
Yes.
And it was a hilarious night. It was very fun. And
I just remember, like, I lost my Diana, because I love Diana Gabaldon, because I love Outlander. And I had put it on myself, and we went back to the hotel room. Like,
yeah, it was on her boob.
Like, where is it? Where did it go? I don't know where it is. And then Christine's like, I don't know where it is. And then Jesse, like, pulls it off of your hair or something and goes, look.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're telling the story halfway.
I don't remember all of it.
Okay, so, well, we had these name tags. We were probably wearing them, like, on our breasts. Like, our... Because they looked like the books that these people were releasing, too. So they were cute. They weren't just like, hello, my name is. And, yeah, we were in the hotel room. And Natasha's running all over, like, where's my Diana Gabaldon name tag? And I was like, I have no idea where it is. And I was talking to my camera because we were vlogging. And I turned around and Jesse was behind me. And he just starts laughing and cackling. And I feel something on my hair. And it was Diana Gabaldon's name tag stuck in my hair. It's in the vlog. It was a great moment. But it's more visual than audio.
Yes.
Audible. If you could hang out with a celebrity for a day. Who are you picking?
You go first.
Mine is obvious. It would be Taylor Swift, and I would want to be really cool and chill and not fangirly and be like, friends. I've wanted to meet Taylor for so long, and now I would definitely just be silent and collapse on the floor. I would just be unable to speak words. But... I'd really love to be friends with Taylor Swift.
Aww.
I
feel like I want to say Taylor Swift as well, but I feel like I would probably want to hang out with Adele all day. Like, I know Taylor and I would...
Interesting.
...would vibe, but I feel like Adele is so hilarious that I would just, like...
She is very fun.
I would love just to... Or, like, Jennifer Lawrence. Like either of those ladies.
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to hang out with Jennifer Lawrence. Introvert or extrovert?
I am an extrovert. And the thing is, but I do like my alone time. So, I'm always, like, going back and forth. So, maybe, like, I'm an introverted extrovert. But, like, I don't get tired when I see... Like, my energy comes off...
Yeah, that's what it's actually about.
So, it's like, my energy comes from being around people, and if I don't have that, then like I fall into like a pit of like depression. So I am an extrovert.
Yeah, my energy is definitely the opposite. So I'm an introvert, but like I can act extroverted, but I am introverted. I am very socially anxious too, so that comes off sometimes, and sometimes I have my extrovert mask on and you can't tell. It depends on how introverted I'm feeling that day, but I get so exhausted after a day of hanging out with people, and I have a lot of fun, but then I'll come home and I'll be so tired the next day that I will have to kind of take the day off sometimes, if depending on how much socializing I did the day before, because I'm like exhausted. Like sometimes I get scared, I'm like, am I getting sick? But really I'm just exhausted from speaking to lots of new people. So, yeah, That's
I am not that way.
What's been your favorite trip of your 20s?
Our Twilight trip was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. We went to Forks in 2016 and it was amazing.
It was Forks, but we also did Portland, where we went to all the locations that were in Twilight. And it was like the trip I'd always wanted to do, even though it's like only a 2-hour plane ride up north from us. But it was just like, I don't know, it was so fun and like just a very carefree time in my life.
It really fed our fangirl, our Twilight fangirls from 2008. It was something that they'd always wanted to do and we got to give it to them. And it was really, really beautiful. In the moment, it was one of those things where I was like stressed a lot because of the situation of Forks. Everything closes early. Like, it was a whole, it's an experience. The second time you go to Forks is much better, I find, than the first time that you go to Forks, because you're kind of overwhelmed by the nothingness of the area. But when you know what to expect, it's really nice and it's really relaxing, and there's lots of beautiful hiking trails. And Portland, again, the first time in Portland, I remember everything closed pretty early there too compared to other cities, and I was like, I'm hungry, what am I gonna do?
This was before I knew the extent of Christine's hangriness, and I was not prepared. And now I know, and like, that is top priority to make sure Christine gets fed and to make sure she goes to the right places so that she can find food. That is number one priority when we travel.
I just need to be able to.
I will never forget. We did like a full day of driving around in Portland, and Christine was withering in the back seat, and I needed like coffee or something just to like push me through the last leg of like the last like location we were going to. And there was a Starbucks drive-thru, and our friend Amy had. Yes, our friend Amy she was our tour guide. Incredible one. I love Amy. She will definitely be on this podcast talking about.
Yeah, she did such an amazing job.
She loves Twilight.
So showing
and,
us all the Twilight
stuff. She was driving us, and she's like, and we're like, can we go to Starbucks? She goes, nope, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. It's going to be dark by now. And I just remember Christine in the background, like on the window with her hands on, like staring lovingly and.
Right there.
Please let me go.
I was like, I need to be the driver so I can control this. It was so nice that Amy drove us everywhere. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, she was amazing. In the moment, my hanger took over completely, though. And I was like, I can't go on. When I run out of granola bars, it's like the end of the world for me. So I try to always have granola bars on me, but a girl can only carry so much in a purse. A girl can only have so many Nature Valley bars before she needs something else. But that was a great trip, though. And the vlog is one of my favorite vlogs I've ever made. And it's called, like, my epic trip to Forks. If you haven't watched it and you're a Twilight fan, like, it's a
I have,
time.
Like, four separate vlogs from that day as well, if you want an even more in-depth.
So my favorite trip of my 20s, if we're going to do my whole 20s, I have to say my study abroad. I studied abroad in London, and it, like, changed my entire life. It's why I started YouTubing regularly. And it's why I, like, gained the confidence to do things like YouTube and go to conventions and travel alone. And I moved to Los Angeles and from New Jersey, and that was huge and something that I never thought I would be able to do when I was pre-study abroad. It just, you learn so much about yourself when you have to live alone in a new country, and you learn that you can do anything. And you're told that for so long, but you're scared and you feel like, in actuality, you can't until you start doing things like that. And I went to VidCon, like, after that by myself. Like, it was, I didn't know anybody. And I had just started my channel. I had 5,000 subscribers when I went to VidCon. And, I met my first online friends. It was very, very life-changing. And I love the trip we just took back to London. We were just in the UK, and we had a grand old 10-day vacation there. And I hadn't taken an actual vacation in years. And It was so much fun to just do things and not have,
like, this,
I don't know, like, an agenda for work.
Like, the stress of having to, like, make a vlog and, like, go to cons.
Even though they're fun, it's, like, that is work.
Yeah.
All right, so I kind of touched on my proudest accomplishments of the last decade here. I mean, my YouTube turning it into a job and writing my book and moving to LA have been some of the things that I'm most proudest of. What are your proudest accomplishments of the last decade, Natasha?
Both my parents have passed away, sadly, and I think my proudest accomplishment has literally just been, like, being able to thrive amongst those big traumatic events in my life. And I think my proudest accomplishment is just been able to be successful amongst the grief, and, like, starting my own business and having that thrive has just been, I'm so proud of it. And you know what, my newest thing is sewing, and I think being able to create with my hands has been such a, like, amazing outlet for me creatively. My mom used to sew, so I think about her every time I make something, and yeah, so those are mine, making my lilac business.
That's really nice. We're all very proud of you and everything that you've accomplished with Lilac.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like I personally have a hard time being like, I'm proud of myself for that. But for things in general, I'm trying to be like, take moments to feel that more. Like, just be like, wow, I did that thing that I, like, 10 years ago, I would never think that I would have done, you know?
I think it's so incredible that you're literally, like, on your third book right now. It's crazy.
It's weird. It's weird. Yeah, I don't, right now, though, I feel like I'm in this moment where I don't know. I feel, like, very low on my proud of myself scale because I'm in this weird transition period of my career. And it's necessary to go through it, but it's rough after feeling like you accomplished, you got to this point, and you're like, look, I'm doing it, I did it. And then, like, you kind of fall in the transition period because you have to find your groove in a new spot. Like, because I've been a YouTuber for so long, and then I had to drop that to really go full writer. I'm really proud of the writing stuff I've done this year that I can't talk about. Hopefully I hope I can talk about it eventually. But, like, because I had to put so much effort into that, I had to take all that stuff that I worked so hard on and watch it, like, fall away. And that is hard. I'm in, like, a mourning period of, like, that and having to rebuild, like I did when I was in my early 20s. But yeah, I'm really proud. Also, I've been doing this writing series about my new book. I vlogged the whole summer where I was writing, and I'm, like, really proud of those videos.
That's an accomplishment in its own. Like, I can barely film, like, when I, like, make something, because it's you have to stop and think about it and think about, okay, I'm working on this thing that needs to be done, but I'm also going to film as I'm going, and it's, like, two different things at the same time. And I think that it's a very hard thing to do, to remember and to do it well, and you do it well and you've remembered, and that's amazing.
Thank you. You do it well too with all your sewing stuff. I'm like, how are you filming this?
I don't know. What's one of your biggest regrets of the last decade, or something that you learned in your 20s? And I love how you're saying your 20s, because I'm still 28 and I got two more years.
Yeah, you still have two more years. I don't know. That's why I kept saying the last decade. And then my brain would go to my 20s because that was feels like my last decade, you know? And I was writing this late at night. I feel like something I've learned is to always go with my gut. And if it's my project and I'm working with a team. So I'm specifically thinking about, like, my book and, like, the way that I want the book to be presented, or, like, the way I want something to be marketed. And I think that it'll reach more people specific ways. I just feel like I kind of lost my confidence to say, actually, I think it should be like this through 2020. There was so much going on and I had so much anxiety. And when my book was coming out, I would say something, but not enough to communicate how I was actually feeling strongly about a certain aspect of marketing and all that stuff. And like, I know they're doing their best and I wasn't as communicative as I should have been about certain aspects of it. And I feel like I know now that I have to just trust what I'm saying because I know that I know my project. And if I think it should be a certain way, then I need to speak up and say it. And that's something that's hard to do in your 20s because especially as ladies, we're taught to kind of like, I don't know, be quieter. And that I've intrinsically, I feel like when I'm in a room full of especially men, I feel like my ideas aren't going to be taken seriously. And so sometimes I'm just like afraid to say it at all. And you always got to say it. Always got to say it. Fight for what you believe in terms of like projects and creativity, because if you're passionate about it, that's important and it means something. And other people will connect with that. What about you?
I think the biggest thing I learned is start before you're ready. And because you're always going to be like, okay, I need this thing to be able to accomplish this thing next. And then you're not going to start. Like, you're going to keep putting it off until you have everything you think you need to be able to start. And I think just going into it and then figuring everything out as you go is the best way to be able to start a new skill, start, you know, a new business project, or just start a project in general. And I think my biggest regret, though, is not getting on TikTok earlier.
Oh my God,
Sam. And I wish I had jumped on that bandwagon in 2019 and said, like, I really didn't go full force until this year.
Let's lighten it up for the end here of our little interview sizzle. If you could go on a date with a celebrity, who would it be?
Henry Cavill. Henry, I've been in love with Henry Cavill since I was in eighth grade, which was 2008. And I love him a lot. There's not a lot of great things about him, unfortunately. Like, his dating life, he likes to date really younger, a lot of like younger people. Oh, but really? Yes, I'm not gonna think about that, and I will just love him as I have. And if he has done something really bad, then I will take him out of my mind. But for right now, it would be Henry Cavill. What about you, Christine?
I don't know why this is so hard for me. I like couldn't think of any people. I was like, who's my celebrity crush? The only person I could think of was Dylan O'Brien. But I've kind of weaned off of Dylan O'Brien since Teen Wolf has been over. And then I was like, Milo Ventimiglia. But he's a little old.
Those are the two I was going to...
Yeah. Yeah. And so I feel like there's definitely someone else that I've seen in a movie that I'm like, oh, I have a crush on them. But they're not coming to mind. I'm like, Brad Pitt, super old.
Robert Pattinson.
Our pads. I mean, honestly, I don't know if our pads' personality and mine would mesh.
I think it would be like, weird.
Yeah, he'd be like, you're very loud. I can already feel it.
What about like Andrew Garfield?
I don't like him.
What? You don't like him?
As a person, he's cool. I'm just like, I'm not big on like the Andrew Garfield. Oh, Tom Holland.
Oh, you're taller than him, but that's fine. He'll be your short king.
I mean, I don't know how much taller I am. I think Zendaya is taller than me. Isn't she like 5'9"?
Yeah, I'm 5'9". Yeah, you're only an inch shorter than me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so I'm probably just around same height as Tom. Isn't he 5'8"? I think we're the same height.
Yeah, okay. It works.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to take him from Zendaya, obviously. I love perfect. Them. I'm just saying, in a hypothetical world, yes, I would love to go on a date with Tom Holland. Okay. Let's wrap this up with our favorite fandoms, because that's important for this podcast, because we're going to be covering all these different fandoms in different episodes. We're planning on doing fandom-centric episodes for specific fandoms. and diving into, you know, discussions about them. And yeah, what can we get excited about on your end, Natasha?
Oh, so many things. Basically everything except, well, wait, I like Doctor Who now. You say that. I'm like, I am a nerd of everything except Doctor Who, but now I like it. Okay, so Star Wars, Disney, Lord of the Rings, Twilight, romance books, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, Game of Thrones.
Marvel, Wonder Woman, Superman. I'm not going to say all of DC. Oh, wait, I do like R-Pat says Batman, so maybe DC, no.
And
Outlander.
Nice. Okay, on my end, I am a huge Shadowhunter fan. I love everything Cassandra Clare writes. Twilight, obviously. Taylor Swift, obviously. Romance novels. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're excited to dig into rom-com, romance novel stuff. Mm-hmm. Survivor. I don't know if anyone's a Survivor fan. It's more niche, but I freaking love Survivor. I'm a huge Lost fan, but that doesn't feel like a fandom that's relevant anymore. I love a lot of stuff. Like, I love movies. I love TV. Yeah. Honestly, anything that I get into, I usually get into intensely. And I mean, we're going to be, oh, Shadow and Bone, excited that new season.
Vampire Academy.
Be covering that for sure. Oh, Sarah J. Maas. Oh, yeah. Everything Sarah J. Maas. So excited. Oh, speaking of Sarah J. Maas, this is a great lead-in to the segment that will be starting next week, Chapter Chat, where we reread one of our favorite books and discuss it section by section with y'all. And we're starting with ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, because yes, we've all, and by all, I mean the two of us, have only read it once.
Yes.
And it's time for a reread. I think there's a show in the works, like, there's new Hulu stuff coming in that world, so we want to refresh ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so for next week, we're going to read the first two chapters, and we'll be discussing it in our Chapter Chat segment at the end of the show.
Yay!
Yes! I'm excited. I'm very excited about that. I'm excited to dig into early Rhysand.
Rhysand.
Rhys, for those of you who pronounce it correctly. And before we go into our final segment of the day, I think we should need to talk about our favorite podcasts, because I feel very heavily inspired by my favorite podcast that I've been listening to for so many years and wanting to make my own. And that's MuggleCast and Millennial. I've been listening to them for like a decade and wanting to make my own and learning from the way that they make podcasts. They're fantastic. If you haven't listened to Millennial or MuggleCast, they're great if you like H-Pods or if you're a millennial that likes to chat about millennial crap. And I love Armchair Expert, Dax Shepard and Monica Padman's podcast. That has risen to, I think, one of the top podcasts out there in the past few years. And they are excellent. I love listening to all their content. And I feel like I've learned so much from them over the years.
Christine put me on Armchair Expert, which now Alex and I listen to. I really like all their guests, and it's a really fun podcast for both of us to listen to. I also listen to Raiders of the Lost podcast, which is like a more like movie centric podcast with two guys, and then Model Citizen, which is like a plus size body positivity podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. I also had my own podcast like back in high school. It was called Twi Nerds United. And I did a podcast with a bunch of women who were like 30, 40 years old. And we all loved Twilight. And
it sounds like a fun time. It was a baby. Oh my gosh. Okay, so to wrap things up today, we're going to do a little fun Mary Kiss Cliff of the Week. Oh, this is a long one. Okay, so for today's Mary's Kiss Cliff, I put together a cartoon-themed Mary Kiss Cliff. Mickey Mouse, Hades from Hercules, or Ryan Gosling? How is... When I say cartoon, I meant Ryan Gosling was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
It's like, Ryan Gosling is not a cartoon. I saw this and I'm like, this is a weird bunch.
I meant Disney, not cartoon.
Okay.
Disney themed.
I would not put... I mean, I know Ryan was in the Mickey Mouse Club, but he's like so far from Disney now. Okay, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to marry Ryan Gosling and kiss Hades and kill Mickey Mouse. Oh. I hate mice. Murder them all!
I think I am going to... This is weird. I don't want to kill Mickey Mouse, but I also like don't want to be romantically attached to him either. So I guess I'm going to cliff him. And I'm going to kiss Ryan Gosling and marry Hades and be the queen of the underworld.
Ooh, yeah. I like it. All right. So, wow, that was our first podcast episode. Yay. And so this is, our podcast is called Those Forking Fangirls, and we would love it if you head over and follow us on your favorite podcast app. So the new episodes come to you every week. It's free. And if you want any of our extra content, like Fangirl Tea Time or anything else on our Patreon, you can go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls, and there is a link in our show notes. And if you like the show, we're just launching, and it's so helpful for us if you rate us and review us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on.
Yeah,
and we very, very greatly appreciate it.
And then make sure you follow us on Instagram, and if you really do like the podcast and this episode, we'd love to have you share it with your friends and family members. That also helps us out a lot. And we're on Twitter and TikTok. We have a lot of fun content coming.
Yes, we do. So if you want to follow us, like, on Twitter, I think, on TikTok, on, wait.
Everything.
On Instagram, we're at those forking fangirls, but on Twitter, we're at
forking fangirls pod. Fork fangirls pod.
No, it's just fork fangirls pod. They didn't have any of our handles, and nothing could fit into the Twitter length handle. So it's basically fuck fangirls pod.
Oh my
God. Fork fangirls pod on Twitter. But it's those forking fangirls on TikTok and yes. Instagram. And I'm at XTeenMay, and Natasha is at Toshopolis mm-hmm. on all those different platforms. But yeah, follow us somewhere so you can see updates. And we have a really fun photo shoot that we did for this podcast that we'll be releasing all different pictures from on our Instagrams and the Forking Fangirls Instagram. And yeah, next week, what can we do to prep for next week? Read the first two chapters of ACOTAR if you want to discuss in that segment with us at the end of the show. And we're about to record Fangirl Tea Time. Mm-hmm. That will be in your feed no matter what today, but every other week it will be in the Patreon only feed. So yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yay!
Let us know what you thought. And if you have any suggestions, I forgot. If you have any suggestions of things you'd like us to talk about, fandoms you are interested in that you think that we should be interested in, you can email us at thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com with any questions, corrections, show topic ideas, fandoms that you think we should know. Hit us up and we will definitely take all feedback into consideration. We love your feedback.
Yes. And if you forget any of this information, it will be available on thoseforkingfangirls.com and in the show notes to find anything and everything for the podcast. We are so excited, you guys.
Our noobness is really showing in the outro.
Sorry. We'll get better. But
we'll get this down. We're like, oh, what else do we have to say? New episodes every Friday.
Yay! We'll be right back.
Christina Natasha. Today we're going to be doing like some casual updates about what's going on with us, and we're going to be talking about bridging the gap from new human to contact in your phone, and how to do that smoothly. Like, either whether you're asking someone out or you are trying to be friends, like, how do we bridge that gap? This is our Fangirl Tea Time, which is usually a Patreon only perk, but today it's for everyone, so you can get an idea of what we're doing in here and what it's like. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls, to see all the perks that you can get over there and support the pod and help us make this a thing that we can do every week and do it successfully. We're very excited to create a community over there. So, very Natasha, give us a little rundown about what's going on with you updates this week before we get into, like, the whole contact thing.
I have been sewing my life away, and by sewing, it's S-E-W. Basically, simply what got back from London, I've just had project after project after project, and I've been running myself ragged trying to make all these costumes and content before Halloween approaches. And I told myself, because this is the first October that I've had where I haven't had a full-time job, I really wanted to use my new skill and make all the cool things, because every time I do, it does really well, and it makes, it's like just such a very rewarding thing I'm doing, and I love it. So this week in particular, I made Wonder Woman. I made her whole freaking armor.
It looks amazing.
I look like her, and I wanted to do it because I'm like, I've never seen a plus size Wonder Woman. But I literally learned how to, like, I melted plastic to a body form, and then I formed it on myself.
That just doesn't sound safe.
I wore a mask. I wore, like, a painter's mask. And then I, like, had to make so many patterns of, like, all of this armor. And then you cut it out of foam, and then you glue it on, and, like, looked like I had boogers all over them. It was for, like, days, because I had all this glue on me. Honestly, like, I did it, and it's done, and it's incredible. It's right here if anyone's watching. I am the most proud of this costume. I really didn't use the sewing machine a lot, so it was just a lot of, like, crafting and watching a ton of tutorials. And I stayed up till 6 a.m. finishing it.
It's late.
And then, I slept until 11 yesterday, and it's done. I still have to make all the TikToks, though. I wasn't able to do that.
Well, I'm glad you finished it. I have been editing my life away because I have to go into the second draft of my book, and I planned to go into it last week, but I'm not done with all my video projects, and I still have a TikTok I have to do. So I'm still working on video stuff, and now my new plan is to go into the book November 1st. So I have a couple more days to finish my episodes of the trials and tribulations of writing a book for YouTube and get those all scheduled and get this new TikTok that I have to do filmed and get the book talks I recorded, edited, and scheduled. I'm just going to get everything scheduled. Yeah, other than that, the other day, leading into our discussion today. So the other day in the morning, I looked cute because I was recording stuff. And so I was walking Bellamy, and I was right in front of my building when this guy who was running stopped and pulled out his earbuds and was like, "Hey, what's your name?"
What? What?
There's this little mound of grass that Bellamy likes to, like, pee on right outside the building. And I was standing on it with him. And I was like, "Me?" And he's like, "Yeah, you." I'm, like, listening to Midnight in my ears, going about my business. I'm doing my listen where I'm, like, listening for little clues and stuff. And I'm like, do I tell him my name? I was like,
"I'm like, Christine? Random stranger." What did he look like? I need more context.
So, okay. So he was cute. He was cute, but like not someone I'm like gonna stop on the street and be like, whoa. Like,
you stopped him in his tracks. So, it doesn't go both
like,
ways.
You know when you make eye contact and like you usually like look away? That's I like made quick eye contact and that's when it was like, hi. So anyway, yeah, so he's cute, but like I could tell that once he started talking to me that he was younger than me. Like he's probably in his late 20s ish, or and I couldn't tell exactly, but I was like, he's definitely not past 30. And he was like, hi, I'd love to get your contact info after he told me my name. After I told him my name and he told me his. And he was like, oh, I'd love to get your contact info before you go. And I was like, we haven't even, what? Like, what do you mean my contact info? We haven't spoken. This is a random person on the street. Like, I know nothing about him. He's just running and he stopped. You can't just ask someone for their contact info. You have to have a conversation. And so I'm awkwardly like, I mean, like, this kind of, you know, I don't know you. Like, I can give you an email. And he's like, oh, I know it's not, like, you know, the regular way you meet people, but, you know, I think you're incredibly beautiful, and I just love to get your contact.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I can give you an email. I feel a little weird.
An email.
And, like, take the email. I don't know. It's awkward now. And then he starts giving me, like, he's like, well, this is my name. And he starts giving me, like, a rundown of basically his bio, like, his job and where he went to college and, you know, what he does at his job.
What?
And I'm just standing there awkwardly because I don't like having this conversation, first of all, right in front of my complex. I'm like, this is weird. I don't know if he knows that I live here. And he's like, oh, I live, like, right around here. And he grew up here. He's telling me where he grew up and everything. And I am just like, I don't know what to do. And then he asked me, you know, like, where I'm from and what do I do and, like, what school I go to and, I mean, went to for college. And I'm just, the way he was excited about college still, I was like, he's definitely not too far from being out of college. But anyway, so I end up, at the end of this conversation, he asks again for my contact info, and I end up just giving it to him because he's like being weird about the email, and now he like stopped and talked to me for 5 minutes, and I just want this to be kind of over. And I'm not like I would never date him, but I don't know him, you know. And it's like, it's weird, and he lives near here, and I don't like the idea of like seeing him outside, you know. Like if this doesn't go well, it's just weird. And then I started to think, like, did he know I was walking over here? Like, did he run over here just to, like, catch me?
He masterminded
because
it was
so weirdly right in front of my building. That's what my neighbor said. So I tell my neighbor the story later that day, and she immediately finds him on the internet.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Yes, immediately. And she starts reading his bio, and I'm like, literally, this is what he, like, rattled off to me.
Did she find him on LinkedIn or something?
Yeah, I don't want to say exactly where because it kind of, you know, I don't want to invade privacy here. I can tell you after this.
Yes, please.
But yeah, so he has my number. He texts me his name and I texted back my name and that's it because I didn't want to like start a conversation, but it felt weird to be like right in front of him and he texted me his name and not answer him, you know. And then later that day he said, nice meeting you, and I said nothing because I was like, I don't want to get involved here. And I looked him up. He's 27. But
that's
like
not that
a
bad.
Bro-y 27. No, a bro. Oh, I just
a bro.
Looking at his profile, it looked really bro-y. He had a lot of pictures with like girls in clubs and shit.
Oh,
and I was
not
like,
your vibe.
I don't know. Not my vibe, but you know, who knows really though. I don't want to like judge a person like that because my neighbor was like, is this a meet cute? And I was like, it didn't feel like cute to me. It felt weird. because it was so abrupt. And he kept asking for my contact info without knowing anything about me. Then yesterday, he texted me being like, hey. And it was during a meeting. And so I didn't answer. And 8 hours later, I was like, hey, running guy, how's it going? And he just... This was an opening for conversation, right?
Yes.
Like, and this is something I find with a lot of people on the dating apps. They don't know how to speak and communicate and, like, start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, ha, great. How about you, letter you,
no. Question mark. No. We use real words now.
Like, also, like, you have to give something from your day to, like, give something for the conversation. And I was like, this is horrible. I made a joke, kind of, because I know his name. And I asked him how he's doing, and he just said, great. That's, like, what you say when you're 5 years old, and your mom's like, how was school? Fine. Good. Like, if you want to talk to someone, you have to give them something. So I wait an hour because I'm like, I don't want to be too encouraging of this terrible text message. And then I was like, I'm good, just cleaning and listening to a new audiobook. It's been a really thrilling night. And he could have asked what book I'm reading. And like, I don't know if he, but then he never responded. And I don't know if it's because I took 8 hours and then a hour after that answer. But also, it could have been because I read books.
I mean, that's what you get for just approaching someone, like, on the street.
Random. Also, like, now every time I go out in the morning, I'm very paranoid that I'm going to run into a walking Bellamy because I don't want to ever see or talk to him again. This is a problem. You can't just go up to somewhere on the street where you live because now I'm like, do I have to wear makeup to go outside every morning now? Because I don't want to feel that pressure. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. This is bad for my anxiety. This has happened to me one time before, and it was very weird that time too. I ran into this guy that must have been like, he looked closer to 40. And he asked me about Bellamy and started talking about his dog that he was not with. We talked for like 3 minutes. And he's like, can I get your number? We should do a dog play date. And I was like, you don't have a dog. Like, there's no dog here.
That's creepy.
And yeah, and I didn't know what to do. This was like in 2020 when I first got Bellamy, and I like ended up giving it to him because like it's so weird when you're face to face, like in person on like the street, to be like no, because then what am I gonna do, run away, you know? Yeah. And like I there's not anyone around, like it's weird.
It's like honestly, like, kind of, like, you don't want to provoke them, too? Like, you never know, like, yes, how people honestly, are going to react?
That is, like, always in my head. Like, what happens? And he was going to text me, like, his thing right there. So he knows if I give him not my number, you know, because we're right in person. It's not like in the olden days at a club where you give someone your number and they call you, like, the next day on, like, a ringing phone. I never did that, but like in TV shows they give someone their number and then they go to a landline and get a call, mm-hmm. you know, in movies and stuff. So yeah, like what is, I feel like nowadays you can't really do that unless you've had a conversation for long enough. You're really good at like bridging the gap between human and number. I like will meet friends and never have their numbers because I'm like too afraid. I'll follow on Twitter.
I know when you were like, you're like, I'm not good at this. I'm like, I am very good at this. I feel like I don't have any weird stories because I'm the one who's, I'm the running guy in this situation.
Well, okay. Well, give us like, let's do a rundown. If we meet and like you want to be friends, like what do you do? Tell us how to do it. Cause I feel like a lot of people are like me and like, we'll make friends and then never get their number. You know, when I met Brizzy and Tessa, I did not get their numbers, and I had to ask for them over, like, Facebook Messenger.
It's so funny because, like, you know Brizzy and Tessa. You've known them longer, and I've known them not as long, and now, like, Tess and I are best friends. I'm also her manager, so that's...
I'm not good at, like, closing the gap. I'm...
Okay, well, it really all depends on how badly I think this person needs to be in my life. So, like, I'm going to use you, for instance, Christine. I wanted her to be my friend. And I pursue people who I want in my life, either because I think they're cool and I like them and I vibe. And I think your friends are a reflection of who you are. So if you already, like, see them online, too, it's a lot easier than just, like, meeting them in person because you don't exactly, like, know their work ethic. Gosh, if I think someone's really cool, I usually approach them, like, online and, like, start DMing them and reply to stories and hopefully, like, see, like, feel them out and see how warm they are over the internets. And but if it's, like, someone in person whom, like, maybe I've seen online, because I usually do this with a lot of, like, other influencers, I'm, like, always inclined to be like, hi, I'm Natasha, like, it's nice to meet you. And then I always, like, try to mention things about myself and, like, maybe how we can, like, mutually, like, vibe off each other, just because I might know them or might know something about.
Like, what? I need an example.
Okay. If you go to a party and you meet someone and, like, you vibe, like, you can exchange. I feel like I always give my phone over to be like, here, put your Instagram in here so I can follow you. And then I usually just use Instagram as, like, that way of communication until, like maybe we'll see each other again if I think, like, I want you to be, like.
And then get the number.
Yeah. I'm always, like, friends all the way. But, yeah, so I think the best way, like, again, if you're in person, you like them, you have a vibey situation, you're like, okay, cool, I really want to see, like, what you do and, like, what your life is like. I would love to follow your Instagram. Like, open up your Instagram app, open up, like, the search bar, give them your phone, have them type in their name, and then they'll give your phone back to you. Like, okay, cool, follow. And they're like, okay, can I put mine in yours? And then you have their phone, and then you, like, mutually follow each other. And then...
Well, you can't say, can I put mine in yours?
Sometimes they just give over their phone, or in the situation...
They'll have to wait and see if they follow
you. Yes, or, like, in the situation, they will follow you back. Be like, this is me. I'm Tashopoulos on Instagram. And then, like, that next day, maybe if they post something or just be like, it was so fun hanging out with you yesterday. Like, have a great day today. Something like that. That's what I've done to multiple people and to my last crush.
Yeah. People do that to me when I meet them. And I'm like, oh, this is so nice because now I can find them on Instagram, because I never asked because I was too scared to ask anything like that ever. It didn't even come into my head, you know. If we didn't already follow each other, I'll follow them if I see them. But if I don't, like, know their handle, sometimes they found mine and they've commented. And I'm like, oh, cool, yeah. New friends. And, like, follow. But
you have to be proactive.
Yeah, in person. Yes,
in person.
It's hard to be proactive in person. I know. And, like, I also don't want to be presumptuous that this person wants to follow me on Instagram, because then you're stuck following me for the rest of time until you unfollow me.
I just unfollow people. And then
I'm like, oh my God, they hate
me. I just unfollow people. I don't care.
You unfollow people you just met?
Yes, if I don't, like their content and I don't think I'm going to be friends with them, I just unfollow them. It happened to me. I did this one event.
What if you see them again?
Oops. I did this one event for Torrid, and it was, like, a luncheon, and I had followed a bunch of people, and I didn't love this one girl's content, so, like, I ended up unfollowing her.
Oh my God.
I know. Sometimes I do mute people,
this
though.
This is what happens when you're too aggressive with follows.
Oh, well.
I have a question. Have you ever asked somebody out, and how did you do it?
No.
What do you think is... You have it. You have it.
No. Yeah. That is the worst. No. The thing is, I'm so good at the friend thing, and then when it comes to, like, dating, I just clamor up. It's never happened. Everyone has told my last crush, they're like, just ask him out. Ask him out. And I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. Absolutely not. So I can't do it. What about you?
I have masterminded a few times. I don't want to go go into detail here. I can tell maybe in another fangirl I can tell about a mastermind that I've done. But I asked John out. My ex-boyfriend, I asked him out, and through Tinder, because he was being so slow and just like talking about Game of Thrones like once a day for like 3 days, and I was like, I haven't had enough of this. Are we gonna see each other in person or not? Back in college, I used email once, but like I was really subtle. Like, it could have just been not asking out, but like in my head I knew that there was a crush there, you know, that sort of a deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like email is like so low stakes. The fact that I suggested an email like yesterday in 2022 is so outdated. It feels like 1994. If you don't want to give someone your number, like, here's my email. Like, nowadays, it's like, here's my Instagram handle.
Yeah, it's but Instagram.
When I'm on an app, like a social, not a social, a dating app, I don't give my Instagram because I don't want, people can learn my whole life. Yep. I don't want anything. I don't want them to know anything before we go in to a date. That would be weird and would suck. So mm-hmm. It's a weird thing to walk. Sometimes like you'll talk to someone on one of those apps and they'll be like, here, just talk to me on Instagram. I'm like, no,
absolutely not. Not when it's like our
absolutely
job.
Absolutely not.
Like,
no. But yeah, so as far as asking someone out, my only advice is to not go up to someone and ask them to get their contact info without ever speaking to them. It's like, remember that viral video? Can I have your number? Can I have it? Can I have it? And it was this guy in a movie theater sitting two rows behind this girl. And he was like, that ponytail is ridiculous.
Like, you were definitely, can I have your number?
2008. I know, that is the equivalent of can I have your number? And now. Yeah, that's not the way. You have to have a conversation. I almost was like, I haven't seen your socials. I don't know if you're a serial killer. Oh my God, this is actually why I was extra afraid. I had just watched the first three episodes of The Patient on Hulu. You know, you watched it. The one with Steve Carell.
One second. The Patient you were talking about.
Yeah, so I had just watched the first three episodes, and then this guy stopped me on the street, and I'm like, oh my God, there's a high chance he could be a serial killer, because anyone could be a serial killer. That was what I was thinking, and I was really paranoid for a couple days. I stopped watching that, because like, anyone I meet on Hinge or any app could be a serial killer, and there could be so normal, and like, that's always in the back of my mind, like, but I kind of laugh it off, because I'm like, you're being crazy. And then you watch The Patient, and he seems so normal when he talks. That really freaks me out.
Well,
but yeah, that's our first fangirl tea time. I think we're gonna wrap this up. That was fun.
I feel like now you're gonna like hold every funny story hostage, and now I'm gonna have to learn about them all on our podcast. So this is now how our friendship works, and I'm gonna be like, what? Why didn't you tell me? Oh, I'm saving it for the podcast.
I literally, when this happened, I was like, I'm gonna save it for the podcast. So while we're here today, this is open for everyone. This is usually a patron-only perk. And if you enjoyed this and you want to support us, because this is a timely, oh my God, I can't think of words, thing that we have to do every week. This is a job.
Yes, this is a job.
This is a job. And we'd love to continue this for a long time, but we do need your support. And if you want to be a part of that, you can do things as simple as rating us on your favorite podcast app, following us for free on your favorite podcast app, but you could also join our Patreon community, and there's lots of fun perks there. Link is in our show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys
for being here and listening to our pilot episodes of our podcast. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And we're so excited to continue on our podcast journey.
Yay.
see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Every Friday. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.